I was going to say, good morning, Dr. Horn and board members. We're almost near the afternoon. Can I start up? Let me start with some announcements. Just a reminder, we do not have an April board meeting. May meeting will be here again in South Lake Tahoe, the 11th and the 12th, and we will have a tour of the Ace Rufford Ranch. As you recall, they came to us earlier, so we said we'd do a tour in the spring, so we'll tour that operation then. Let me update on some of the items that are in your packet, the written report, and some new information about that. Lisa Dernbach wrote a nice article about combined remediation technology, some of the new technologies that are out there. It's 11-5. It highlights some of the, like I said, the new approaches to both speed up cleanup and reduce costs. Related to this, I've been invited by the EJ groups in Region 4 to participate in a regional effort called the LA Basin Groundwater Restoration meeting. And it's a group of government agencies, state, federal, local, and environmental justice community to talk about new technologies and talk about ways how we can expedite cleanups, how we could do it in a more thoughtful way, how we could protect drinking water sources better. So, I'm hoping that knowledge will help us with some of our cleanups. So I'm going to join in. Financial assurances. This is on 11-6 of your EO written report. Our Victorville office, Brianna, wrote a very nice write-up on financial assurances for facilities under Title 27 regs, or some of our core regulatory, the waste discharge land, like mines and landfills and compost facilities. And the article talks about the complexities of one type of insurance. I'll call it the self-insurance, is the layperson's way of calling it, corporate guarantees. And our challenge is to use it as a tool in the future. This would be like a PG&E or a Chevron or a big government agency being able to say, instead of financial assurances, trust me, I can self-insure because I have assets, and so when the time comes, I could step up and deal with financial assurances. But because of some changes in accounting practices, it's going to be a struggle how to use that, and we'll be working with the state board because it's not unique to our region. It's all the regional boards will be struggling with this. And, of course, as luck would have it, I just received a letter from Chevron regarding the Mollicorp ponds asking for us to use self-insurance. And the previous board has not, we've not as staff approved self-insurance because if a company goes bankrupt, there goes your self-insurance. So we tend to push them towards other mechanisms for financial assurances. So I just want to let you know I received that letter. I'll be coordinating with the state board and with our staff to figure out how to deal with that request. The PC investigation, this was, I think the state board, they gave us cleanup and abatement money for this investigation. This is on 11-11 of your written report. And the only thing I want to update is that the nice article that was written there explains the workshop, what was said, what we learned about the investigation. But it also mentions that a resident asked for some help for monitoring. This is back to the Human Right for Water, right, in our EJ program. So we did indeed test that individual as well. I want to just report back that it was non-detect for both organics and for metals. So that resident's concern, I think, makes them feel better that we as the regional board, help them out. So now I'm going to shift to updates in general. Some of you got a sampling of from Scott, and that is on Crystal Geyser. Our staff, Kathy and Scott, they drove a long way down with our office enforcement staff to attend Inyo County Supervisors Public Meeting on Wednesday evening. It focused on water quality and drinking water impacts from that Crystal Geyser waste discharge facility at the Lancha Bottling Plant, with the primary concern of arsenic groundwater contamination and it being an unpermitted arsenic pond that received 11 years of arsenic treatment system discharges. Of course, you've heard Scott say it's now in the enforcement realm. But I mention it also because it's as part of our discussion we had earlier about priorities and accomplishment. That's an example of an unpermitted facility we didn't know about. The meeting was well received. About 50 to 75 people attended. That's a good turnout for down there. And it lasted about 2.5 hours. The public heard, as you heard Scott say, about contamination, the status of the site, and what do we know about the contamination and threats to public and private wells? Not just us. We gave presentations along with Crystal Geyser and the Inyo County folks. I believe probably Marvin Moskowitz gave a presentation, or someone from the staff. The overall message was that there's no evidence that any public or private water supplies are being impacted by the arsenic contamination. So that's important to know. That the plume is headed towards Owens Lake and not towards the Cartago, if I pronounce it right, Water District, which is, there was a concern of the community down there. And data suggests localized impacts to groundwater, but this will be verified the next 2 to 3 months, so there's work underway. Lots of questions were asked about how long the Crystal Geyser operate without the proper permits. You know, why did they do that? Agencies were basically unaware of these activities is the answer, you know. And Crystal Geyser failed to apply for the necessary permits. It's not always us having to chase people or catch people. It is a responsibility of discharges to know the laws. So I just want to put that out there. Longhanton will bring a launch facility under a permit, as well as looking at the proposed cabin bar facility. The district is also in compliance, good to know, with our 13267 order that we issued, the investigative order, the earlier one. Bottom line is the meeting was very well received. I think they appreciated that everyone came down. Again, Scott's saying of collaboration, working with everyone. And local state agencies are planning another public meeting after receiving the results of the next investigation late spring or early summer. So it'll be an ongoing dialogue with that community. The Marina General Permit. This will be before the board for consideration in May. So, you know, a lot of interesting Tahoe-related issues will be before you in May. We hosted a public workshop, you heard Scott mention, that was also well attended by about 30-ish people. And the discussion is really focused on 4 main topic areas. The staff enforcement letter, the informal one, about violations of the annual review. The tentative NPDES industrial stormwater part that's out for public comment. Interim permitting program for dredging at Lake Tahoe and the reasons for pulling maintenance dredging out of the marina permit. We made a decision to pull the maintenance dredging out of the marina permit so we could look at it on a parallel path. You remember some previous discussions where we had found aluminum problems in the dredge spoils, and so we need to take that on a separate path to look at that. And aquatic invasive species surveying and treatment, mostly related to the proposed dredging project. So we discussed a lot of interesting things. The Marine Association expresses support of the changes. We had had an earlier meeting with them a bit ago where they brought forth a number of concerns about the permit. We made a commitment as staff and myself, hey, the next time we renew that permit, we're going to listen to your concerns and incorporate. So the tentative permit that went out did have many of the issues that caused them difficulty in compliance, as well as it was just difficult to implement for them, that went out for 10-foot public comment. So they're generally very happy that we did that and listened to them. We made additional recommendations that staff was considering, you know, folks from the public meeting gave us. Some concerns were expressed over increased frequency of sampling, so we're going to work through that with our stakeholders. And staff explained the basis for the increased sampling, which is consistency with the new statewide permit. But, you know, we'll work with them, seeing what we could do. So we're, you know, it was a good effort. So we're hoping to get all these comments, synthesize them into a revised permit that will be before the board for your consideration in May. But we leave, the takeaway I want you to leave, we got a lot of positive feedback, staff did, from the meeting and the process, listen to everyone. And we recommend setting up a meeting with the marina owners 3 months after the adoption of the permit to check in and answer questions. Often with the new permit, there's lots of, what about this? Would that work? What can we do? So we committed to a 3-month check-in. We also committed to an annual meeting with the marina owners on an annual basis to do a check-in, you know, which I think is a good thing to do. We've done that for other areas, and it's a good practice to have. So that's mapped out on the marina permit, which is, again, an example of an efficiency. It's not on the list that you've looked at because it's one that we've already done. We're just renewing it. Let me switch to the southern part of our region, George Air Force Base. As you recall, I had signed a letter to folks in Texas asking them to consider our changes. Our letter said that they were not in compliance with either the California laws or federal requirements, particularly on the issue of M&A. And this is where the board adopting the report is so valuable to us. So we asked, as part of that letter, I said, we asked, can we all get together and work through these issues? And that meeting occurred March 3rd. Mike led our negotiations, Mike Samir, our leader on these discussions with the military, along with Cindy and some of our other staff. So Mike reiterated the points of our letter, particularly in the board's guidance under the M&A report, with our board would like to see. Phil Mook, who is the Air Force representative in the negotiations, he'll lead the negotiations for the Air Force part of it, indicated their primary concern with our letter was the broad group of people we CC'd on the letter. He thought it painted the Air Force perhaps in an unfair light to a number of stakeholders who were included on the letter. So I think the daylighting of our concerns, I think, is a difficult thing for the military. But the CC list was pretty much what we normally CC on the George Air Force Base letter. So. But I understand, we're daylighting that we're having a disagreement, and I get that that's difficult. State Board staff also were at this meeting to help provide support to us as well. The meeting was not really a technical discussion, but rather a recognition that all the parties need to focus on four major areas of concern. And so we broke it apart, the staff did, by the four major plumes areas: the solvent area, the petroleum bulk fuel plume, the petroleum flight line plume, and the DL problem. And that we probably should look at a remedy for each of those areas that doesn't entirely rely on M&A, which is, again, the board's guidance report that they do active treatment. That's what I mean. The parties agreed to have a series of meetings on those four main areas and develop issue papers by April 1st, articulating each party's positions, and then schedule meetings to find solutions. The first meeting will be April 13th at McClellan to discuss the solvent plume. Also, a meeting will be held on the 19th up here in Tahoe to discuss the petroleum flight line plume. The other two plumes, the Eldrin and bulk fuels, will still work out a schedule about when we're going to have a meeting on those. Our staff believe that finding a solution on the solvent plume will help build momentum for the three other areas and give us some lessons learned to move forward on those. We're going into these meetings to find solutions, but we're realistic that the outcome, given the Air Force's position to hold firm on their approach, may be difficult. I am hopeful for consensus. That is certainly where Lahontan is coming from, is to find some middle ground and work with them in good faith. But if we cannot find resolve, I just want you to know there is a formal dispute process, which is the next step. We're not there yet. Hope we never get there, but that is part of the process. The other thing I want to update you on is the Adelanto School District meetings that we had regarding the school on George Air Force Base, which is occupied by students as we speak. We referred this to TOCSIS for consideration because they're the state agency responsible for school site issues, and they are also, the public health leaders on this. It's more in their wheelhouse. And we've been coordinating with them about our concerns about possible contamination under the school, given that the building was where the school is pretty much the same age as the other buildings who have problems as well. And so in consideration and concern over these children's health, we really would like some sampling. So Adelanto is working with USAP and us and talk, see if they could apply for a grant to do soil sampling. I will tell you I'm exploring with staff options about us maybe more firmly asking the Air Force to do the sampling themselves. So that's still under dialogue with our staff about what's the best path forward. It concerns me to my soul that these kids are going to school there and there could be a threat. Mm-hmm. And we talked about public health as a concern for us. I will bring up the issue of sensitive subpopulations. Mm-hmm. And most of the other environmental programs at OEHA and at TOCSIS, they have a carve-out for what they call sensitive subpopulations because they are, the Air Board does it as well. because they're more sensitive to chemicals. Mm-hmm. The respiration rates, the load rates of the chemicals for children and infants are much higher. Mm-hmm. So, and that also goes for daycare centers, hospitals where people's immune systems are limited, convalescent homes. These are all considered by the other state agencies as sensitive subpopulations, that you look at them a little bit differently. So I just wanted to leave you with that, with that we're working on it. LADWP, our staff met, on the way up here, Mike drove up here for a meeting with those folks, on the maintenance dredging general order that's under development, and other things such as grazing, maybe road maintenance. To remind you, I'm going to be meeting with some of their upper management in the spring. I did this last year, and I think the meetings that Pete and I had with their upper management help to change the culture of staff to maybe work with us a little bit better on many things, and it's really been a good positive relationship. So I did commit to Nancy Sutley that I meet back with her again and Bishop to take see, like, where are we, what did we see improvement on, where do we still need to go. So it is, I'm very happy to see that they're doing the dredging general order for years. They didn't necessarily get permits from us, so we're changing cultural perspective. But we still have to talk about bacteria in Bishop Creek. We still have to talk about their involvement or lack thereof in the Irwin process, which I've been trying to encourage them to be involved. The lack of a salt nutrient management plan in that area, stormwater program, and LADWP and county co-owned landfill. So these are some of the, yet we need to talk more about this. And again, it's in the spirit of collaboration that I'm working with our friends at LADWP. And, you know, it's like any process, it takes time. To change a culture, it takes time to work on issues. But we're making good progress. And big thanks to a lot of the Victorville staff who did been doing a lot of heavy lifting in terms of working with LADWP. So that's my report. I don't know if you have any questions.
LADWP is responsible for Bishop Creek?
Potentially, they have a role in it because they have a grazing allotments.
They do?
Yes, they do.
Most of them have.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean they allow grazing?
So what we have done is, this is part of that bacteria assessment update you got earlier, as you recall, and you know, we've ruled out things. We've ruled out septic tanks. We've ruled out human things. There's a little bit of human impact from a small homeless camp there, but the rest of it appears to be coming from irrigated, you know, grazing, livestock grazing. Now, they are doing source tracking there because they believe that it could be deer. They believe it could be other beavers. So there is a round of source tracking that's going on now. Some of it we funded, some of it they funded, some of the Paiute tribe is looking at. So again, we're going to reconvene in late spring about what does the data show us, because it's the third or fourth year. This is again swamp. This is an example of where swamp was so valuable. It was their initial sampling that found, you know, this is the problem, smoldering problem over in that area, and then we all kind of, you know, the county's part of this, so it's, we're going to regroup in the spring to see what the data shows us. If it truly is cows and not deer and beavers, then we have to step to the next stage of what do we do about it. So we'll have that discussion this late. What do we do about it? What is the data telling us?
Any questions?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that update.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And I think with that, we have concluded our business for this meeting. So we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.